President Trump is going after social media companies and Wall Street is taking notice.
A company like Twitter or Facebook could be in trouble.
The European Union prepares a $2 trillion response to the pandemic.
We should not forget that we are in a deep crisis and we haven't seen the end of the crisis so far.
Plus, the science behind why video calls make you feel so tired. It is Thursday, May 28th. I'm Mark Garrison with The Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. More than 100,000 Americans have died of COVID-19, by far the highest death toll in the world. The numbers do appear to be slowing down in the U.S., but epidemiologists warn that official global numbers likely underestimate the real total because of limited testing. The Western Hemisphere is in special focus now, with rising infections in Brazil, Peru, and Chile. Brazil's daily death toll just passed that of the U.S. President Trump has asked for the FBI and Justice Department to speed up the investigation into the death of George Floyd, black man who was in Minneapolis police custody. A number of law enforcement officials have also weighed in, criticizing the officer who held his knee on Floyd's neck, as seen in video from bystanders. Four officers involved have been fired. An attorney for one of them declined to comment on the incident. China's legislature has just approved a new national security law for Hong Kong, overriding the territory's partial autonomy. Expectation of this move has triggered protests in the global financial center and a warning from the U.S. that it no longer sees Hong Kong as autonomous from China. Boeing said it plans to reduce its workforce by more than 13,000, including forced layoffs. That's a much deeper cut than union officials had indicated. The company is reducing jetliner production, but also expected to cut jobs in its services arm and central corporate offices. In just a moment, after tangling with Twitter, President Trump prepares to step up pressure on all social media companies. Reporting that President Trump is expected to sign an executive order that could limit legal protection for social media companies. This comes in the wake of his ongoing dispute with Twitter, which recently put fact-checking notices on some of his tweets. Current law gives social platforms pretty broad immunity from liability for stuff their users post. But the president's executive order could affect that, and some investors seem concerned. Markets reporter Avantika Chilcoti explains.
So the order is still in the draft stage, but the idea is that these companies could now be held accountable by federal regulators if they curb users' speech. If they do things like suspending an account or deleting their posts, a company like Twitter or Facebook could be in trouble. The idea is that the law currently sees the companies just as a tech group. They are just hosts of speech. Yesterday, Twitter shares closed down 2.8%. Facebook shares were also down. And some of these social media companies have been the darling of investors for the last few months and years. And it just raises a new question about how regulators view them and the role that they play in society.
The White House declined to comment. We will get the latest weekly jobless numbers today. They're sure to be high, but the thing to watch for is whether the trend continues of a decline from the recent peak. Dollar Tree, Dollar General, and Salesforce are among the companies reporting earnings today. After a quick break, Europe prepares a multi-trillion dollar effort against the coronavirus. The European Union has unveiled a $2 trillion recovery and budget plan to counter damage from the coronavirus, but getting 27 countries with very different views to agree will not be easy. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen urged leaders to put aside differences and move ahead.
I think it's very important that we now focus on this proposal. We should not forget that we are in a deep crisis and we haven't seen the end of the crisis so far.
The Journal's Lawrence Norman is covering this from Brussels. He spoke with our Charlie Turner.
Lawrence, what goals has the European Union set out in this ambitious plan?
It tries to focus that money into projects that are in line with the EU's priorities, things like spending on green projects, on the digital economy. But above all, what it tries to do is to provide a pathway out of the economic crisis by boosting spending and allowing governments to invest in their own economies over the next 2 or 3 years.
Why is it being called historic?
It's being called historic because for the first time, the EU itself is proposing to borrow hundreds of billions of euros in the financial markets. In the past, that's always been done, something done only by national governments, never on any significant scale by the EU. And what that means is that the EU is pooling the resources of all of its members to pay for this project, instead of saying to Italy, for example, you need money to recover from the crisis, therefore you need to issue your own debt and increase your debt levels in order to recover. So the EU is going to do this for the whole of the bloc, and that will allow the hardest hit countries like Italy and Spain to raise money without increasing their already very high debt loads.
What is the likelihood that the plan will pass? It requires unanimous approval.
Yeah, and every single one of the EU's 27 member states could block these plans, so it would only take one of them to do so. I think the likelihood that a plan along these rough lines will pass is quite high. The keywords there are along these lines. The real question is, how much compromise will the EU have to make in this? Will it end up with a lower figure, less than the 750 billion euro recovery plan and less than the 1.1 trillion EU budget than they've put on the table? Will it be forced by more prudent member states to adopt very tough conditions and demand very tough conditions on the money that it hands out? And the EU is proposing that 500 billion euros of the money that it raises should simply be handed out to the hardest hit countries. One of the questions here will some of that money end up as loans instead of grants? So there are real questions about how exactly this program will end up. But a significant stimulus program funded by the issuance of EU debt is pretty likely at this point.
How does it compare to other stimulus plans in the US and Japan?
If it all passes in the way that the EU wants, it would be a significant regional response to the crisis. The US is spending a lot of money. The Japanese have done likewise, even the Chinese. And of course, national governments in Europe have also put in place their own fiscal stimulus plan. So if you add those national efforts to the kind of money that's been floated today, and to the measures that the EU has already taken, around 500 billion euros of loans have been offered, and support has been offered, then you are beginning to talk about a significant economic response to the crisis. Whether it's enough in Europe, which has had economic problems for years and years, and where governments have really struggled to even overcome the financial crisis of 10 years ago, that is uncertain.
That was the Journal's Lawrence Norman speaking to our Charlie Turner. We are hearing these sounds a lot lately of FaceTime, Zoom, Skype, WhatsApp, Google Meet, or whatever you're using to collaborate with colleagues and talk with friends and family as lockdowns keep us apart. And those video calls make us tired. It feels weird and lazy to say it. After all, you're just sitting there, right? But the fatigue you feel is real. And we've been digging into the science and talking to researchers to understand why. One problem is that video calls are asynchronous, sometimes a little lag, sometimes a big lag if somebody's got a slow connection. The thinking is that makes our brains work extra hard to feel back in sync. And that is tiring. There's also the closeness. Everyone's in everyone's face. That kind of contact can stimulate a fight or flight response, which can be exhausting. We have more details in our article on WSJ.com looking at the relevant science, what we know and what we don't about how video calling affects us. And that is what's news for this morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. We are back with another updated episode this evening. I'm Mark Garrison with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.